We're going to our regular history segment now. Grant Morris is here to talk about something that many of us have probably never thought about, the New Zealand coat of arms. Kia ora, Grant. Hello.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you make the quite reasonable point that we all know the national anthem, the flag, very well.
Yeah, and we will have seen the coat of arms for New Zealand and perhaps even our cities and towns, which we'll talk a little bit about today as well. We've all seen it. It's just I don't think we've dwelt on it very much.
Yeah, I guess I think of the court when I see this coat of arms, but where does it show up?
So many of the formal government organisations like courts and parliament and all of the branches of government, you'll see the sign, and often on the internet if it's a government website. So it's one that's very common, but it's quite bitsy. So it's not one that you necessarily spend a lot of time looking at as opposed to, say, the flag.
Yeah. And what is the point of a coat of arms?
So this is where we go deep into we're not going to go deep today, don't worry, but into heraldry. So this whole idea of coats of arms. And as listeners will know, it's about aristocratic families. It started in the Middle Ages. You know, you can have coats of arms for organisations, for universities, for families, for cities, for towns, for countries. So it's all part of that very complex world of heraldry. And yeah, if you want to go into that world, I mean, you know, you could spend your lifetime looking at it.
Yeah. Do you know much about where they sort of, how they arose?
Yeah. So if we go right back to heraldry, we've got that medieval history to them and that idea of, especially if you're powerful, important or rich, of symbolizing that power and that influence through things that meant something to you. So for example, in the Wellington coat of arms, we adopted some of the Duke of Wellington's aristocratic symbols on his coat of arms. So that's a good example of, you know, that mixing between the family aristocratic-based ones and the civic ones in New Zealand.
And remind people what the New Zealand coat of arms looks like.
Yeah, so if they've got access to the RNZ website, you'll see we've put some examples up there, including the New Zealand one. And what people probably will remember is that on one side, you have, when we're looking at it on our left-hand side, we have Zealandia, the daughter of Britannia, who symbolises New Zealand, and then Māori Rangatira on the other side. So people will know that, and they'll probably remember that the crown on the crest of the coat of arms sits there as well. So this particular coat of arms is 1956, the one we see, and that's a revamp of the original one, which was very similar but a little bit more dated and looked more like the British one. So that's what people remember. But if you look closely at the shield, we've got ships, so symbolising our heritage of trade by sea and the importance of sea. We've got the Southern Cross. We've got the symbols symbolising mining and industry, and also the two symbols of symbolising agriculture and the importance of farming. So given the dates that this was developed, the agriculture basically gets half the symbols or two of the symbols. And, you know, and that just shows the historic nature of it, because if you're looking economically and you wanted a shield that represented New Zealand economy, at least until March last year, tourism should be there. But tourism is just not even really.
You think as well as the coat of the arms, you should have someone upside down bungee jumping into the shot?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
You know, it does look very 1950s, doesn't it, when you look at it? The style feels like that era.
Yes. And if you look at the previous one, we haven't got that up on the website, but if you Google the previous one, you'll see it looks like something from the 19th century or that turn of century time. So, you know, coats of arms can be updated, but the fundamentals of our New Zealand one have stayed quite consistent. There used to be a lion on the top, now there's a crown. What some of the interesting things, though, is when we look at some of the civic ones, so of cities and towns. Now, this is probably something that not many people do take the time to look at. So you'd really have to go down to your local council to, you know, get a representations or perhaps on their website. But there's quite a big variety in New Zealand, and some are new and some are old and some are kind of in the middle. So I've chosen my three favourites today.
And we've got them up on the website as well. Which one would you like to start with?
I'll start with Wellington, and then we'll have a quick talk about Invercargill. So the Wellington, I'm Wellingtonian, as you know. I think it's a pretty smart one. You've got that linking in with the Duke of Wellington, but you've also got the moa, and I think it's a really nice touch. You've got the dolphin. You've got the suprema situ, so the idea of
Are you sure that's a dolphin?
Well, that's what I thought, and I went on to at least three different websites to double check, and I thought, that looks like a sea serpent, and everyone said it was a dolphin, so unless I'm missing something there. So, you know, the importance of location and the Latin motto. So for me, it's a coat of arms. It's got everything. But, you know, it looks dated. It looks, you know, like an old-fashioned one. When we look at the Invercargill one, which, you know, is quite different to many of the others, just in the actual art of it as well and the way that the birds have been drawn, the Takahe. And what a cool symbol for Invercargill, because it was done just after the Takahe were rediscovered in Fiordland, which is in Invercargill.
close enough.
And they're so dominant in the coat of arms.
Yeah.
I thought, what a special New Zealand one to have. And as I say, the pictorial representation is quite quirky as well. So that I think that was my favourite one.
And Auckland's all right.
Yeah, so the Auckland one
looks a bit old, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a cornucopia. for those of you, who
does it?
Yeah, so if we're looking from if we look at it in the top left hand corner of the shield, you know cornucopia, for those who follow the Hunger Games, and all about cornucopia.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So the land of plenty is what it's symbolising there, and, you know, just the fertility of the Auckland region and the way it produces.
Could have been an ideal opportunity to talk about the Hamilton coat of arms, Grant.
I thought so, and I looked at it, and given our Hamilton connections, it just didn't strike me as one of the most interesting ones.
No.
So I unfortunately left it off the list.
1966, it looks like.
Mm, mm.
And the Pukeko, are they?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's great how the native birds are incorporated and those different aspects of New Zealand. But of course, it's historic for most of them because they're done so long ago. So it's looking back on what was important in New Zealand and to some extent still is, but not in every case.
Yeah. And so what do coats of arms tell us about New Zealand history?
They tell us what was important when they were drawn up. They tell us what New Zealand was based on. They also show how we've changed, and we think, well, what if we were to do another one today? Well, what if we were to update it? What might it look at? But, you know, one of the themes I've been bringing up over the last, 8 or 9 months is as we become perhaps more inwardly focused, because we can't travel as much and we are focused here in New Zealand, perhaps these sorts of things are going to potentially become more important, or perhaps people might focus on them a bit more as they look more towards New Zealand and maybe a little less overseas.
Somebody has a theory that the crown becomes a lion if you get a king, and how the lion is standing tells you whether the king is dead or alive. Does that ring any bells for you?
Yeah, so this I went right into the heraldry.
Yeah,
and there are so many rules and regulations, and I don't have an answer, unfortunately, to that one. But you could honestly, you know, it's like a stamp collecting. You could spend your life.
You got a shout out to the Ngarawahia coat of arms as well.
Yes, I just thought I just used that as an example of just how small towns can have these coats of arms. Well, not every small town has one. Most of the, if not all of the big towns and cities do, but, you know, we've got small towns with them as well. So I think that's quite special and shows a certain amount of civic pride and interest if you can put together a coat of arms.
Everyone's got a waka on it. Thanks, Grant. Nice to talk to you as always.
Cool. Thanks, Jesse.
Welcome back to 2021. That's Dr. Grant Morris, our regular historian.